Do you know how a soul is saved? Are you sure? And what are you betting? Oh, sorry, I meant to say basing your soul's salvation on. Do you believe your Bible? No, not like a bunch of parables, not like a bunch of stories. I mean, do you really believe your Bible? Do you think that every word in it is God's perfectly preserved word? Have you ever learned how to rightly divide the word of truth? Have you heard of the dispensation of the grace of God? Did you even know the word dispensation was in your Bible? Have you heard of the revelation of the mystery? Did you know that God made Paul the apostle for the church today? Do you need to firm up, trim down, get in shape, and maybe even lose a few pounds? Then stay tuned right here for the next half hour, and I'll give you all the exercise you need jumping to conclusions. These and other questions will be answered today. My name, Mark Mumma. This is the Wonderful Grace Radio Broadcast.
Wonderful grace of Jesus, greater than all my sin. How shall my tongue describe it? Where shall his praise begin? Taking away my burden, setting my spirit free. For the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me.
And a good Sunday morning to each and every one of you. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening to the Wonderful Grace Radio Broadcast. My name is Mark Mumma, pastor of the Master Builder Grace Assembly at 313 South Jefferson Street in downtown Dayton. We meet every Sunday morning. We have teaching at 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock a.m. every Sunday morning. We have a preaching service at 11 o'clock a.m. You also have opportunity on Wednesday evening, whereby we have a Bible study at 7 o'clock. All those things are available to you via the internet. That's a neat thing, and let me give you information on that. We have a website, www.wonderfulgrace.org. Wonderfulgrace.org for those of you who are online connected via your computer. And you can contact me from the website. We have a contact us page. You go ahead and send an email, a note, and I will respond to those. You can also mail cards or letters, anything that doesn't blow up, to P.O. Box 384, Spring Valley, Ohio, 45370. P.O. Box 384, Spring Valley, Ohio, 45370. I will read each and every one and respond to those. You need to check out the website. On there, there's dozens of audio studies, information about Pal Talk, which is, in fact, a chat room network. You download a small program, and you can access our services. You can access our studies live via the internet, streaming them right to your computer. You can listen to the audio. We even have a video available whereby you can watch me. I don't know why you'd want to, but you can watch me live as I teach. And so those studies are available. You can go to church and never even leave the comfort of your living room or your bedroom. That's kind of a neat thing. We have people all over the world who join us for those. You can also go to the website. There's dozens and dozens of studies available, recorded and posted up on the website. You can stream them to your computer using RealPlayer, or you can download them to your iPod or MP3 player. They're available in MP3 format. That way you can take them with you, take them to work, take them to the grocery store, take them out on your lawnmower, anything you'd like to do with those. That's kind of a neat thing. You'll find out that there's verse-by-verse studies of entire books of the Bible on the website. That's something that's uncommon today, I would have to imagine, because when you do a verse-by-verse study, you can't make excuses for any of the verses. You have to deal with each and every one. That would be a good thing. As we study together, you're going to discover that I teach mid-acts, Pauline, dispensational, right division of a King James Bible. Mid-Acts, the middle of the book of Acts, somewhere around there in Acts chapter 9, the Lord Jesus Christ appears to the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus and gives to him him the revelation of the mystery, information that was designed and given just to Paul to give to us, the church, the body of Christ. Pauline, we're Pauline in our doctrine. We understand that Paul is, in fact, the apostle for the Gentiles, for the church, the body of Christ today. Dispensational. Well, you might not have even realized the word dispensation was in your Bible, but it is. And dispensation, that's a dispensing of information, whereby God gives out particular information to a certain group of people. That would be for us. Right division. If you are not rightly dividing the word of truth, well, the default would be you're wrongly dividing the word of truth. And if you're not Pauline and dispensational in your biblical understanding, then chances are you've never learned to rightly divide. You say, we do rightly divide at my church. We have both the New Testament and the Old Testament. We study them both. Well, there is another thing. There is the mystery program in your Bible. And if you're not familiar with that, you need to be. And we use a King James Bible. Wow, if you have the best, why deal with the rest? We have God's perfectly preserved word without a mistake in it when we have our King James authorized Bible. If you've never learned how to rightly divide the Bible, you absolutely need to. It is, in fact, the key that opens the door to the understanding of the Bible. You can then quit making excuses for the verses. You can understand, well, possibly for the first time, your entire Bible. You can be certain of what God is doing, how you fit in. You can understand how a soul is saved, and you can be, in fact, assured of your soul's salvation. So these and other questions are going to get answered in the next half hour. If you will hold on and listen, then we'll get started in a couple of minutes right after this. Probably recognize the music playing as the Fanfare for the Common Man. When you come to the Master Builder Grace Assembly at 313 South Jefferson Street in downtown Dayton, Ohio, there will no doubt be some things that you will notice. You will notice that we are located inside a rather common building, the AFL-CWA Union Hall building just south of the Convention Center. You will notice the off-street parking in a rather common parking lot next to the building. As you enter the Master Builder Grace Assembly, you will notice that the surroundings are, frankly, well, rather common. There are no padded pews, no stained glass windows, no holy relics, no statues of dead people. Instead, we have tables and chairs where you can sit in air-conditioned comfort, spread out your Bible, and even take notes if you wish. If you have a question, just ask. You will get your questions answered. You may notice that the people of the Master Builder Grace Assembly are just common, everyday people from all walks of life, from all parts of the Miami Valley, a diverse group of all sizes, shapes, and colors. We do, however, have some things in common. First, we have a common belief that the Lord Jesus Christ died for the forgiveness of all our sins and did everything necessary for a soul's salvation. You will notice that we trust Christ and Him alone. Second, we have a common desire not to be ignorant of God's Word, but to be as knowledgeable as possible concerning God's perfectly preserved Word, the King James Bible. Third, you will find that the people of the Master Builder Grace Assembly have a common concern for you and your eternal soul. We want you to settle the question of your soul's salvation once and for all. We want you to grow in grace and understanding of what God would have you to be doing. We want you to succeed in your Christianity, something that is not very common among Christians today. The thing that you will find is uncommon at the Master Builder Grace Assembly is the level of biblical understanding that you will achieve by attending. You already know that most of the teaching and preaching that you hear today is nothing more than new and improved excuses for why the Bible doesn't say the same thing as that of the preacher or Sunday school teacher. At the Master Builder Grace Assembly, you will find yourself in the uncommon position of listening to teaching and preaching that doesn't correct the Bible, or look for a different rendering, or go to 17 different translations. At the Master Builder Grace Assembly, we have the uncommon faith that we can take God's Word at face value and rightly divide the Word of truth. Once you attend the Master Builder Grace Assembly, you will realize how uncommon a church we really are. As a matter of fact, once you attend the Master Builder Grace Assembly, you will realize how common most churches have become. Too bad no one has ever written the fanfare for the uncommon man. I'm sitting at my house here in Spring Valley Township, looking at some pictures. The pictures that I'm looking at were taken some time ago, and this first picture that I have in my hand, it shows, well, in the foreground there's some grass, and in the background there's some trees, and behind the trees there's a sunrise. The sunrise is coming up, and it's nice colors, orange and red and yellow, beautiful picture. But I know where that picture was taken. It was taken from my backyard, and I know that as I walk out and look around, the backyard actually looks quite different than what's in this picture. Because in the picture, I'm not getting the panoramic overall view of what's really there. I have another picture. It shows a field. Behind the field, there's some trees. Oh, beautiful. You might think that this picture was taken somewhere, oh, let's just say the Sugar Creek Nature Preserve down there in Sugar Creek Township, out somewhere wild. But I know differently. I know that this picture was taken 7 years ago, and now there's a house where the field used to be. Actually, things are quite different than they used to be. I'm reminded of Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, where God has said that He has spoken at sundry times and in diverse manners through His prophets. So, throughout time, God has said different things to different people at different times. Not everything was directed at you. Not everything in the Bible is instruction for you. You already know that. You've been making excuses for your Bible, but you don't need to, because we know that the Bible is in fact accurate in its content. God has promised to perfectly preserve His Word and has done a fine job. He's not so old that He's not able to do that. In Psalms chapter 12, verse 6, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Now, God is not a man that He should lie. So I'm going to let God be true and every man a liar when it comes to believing my Bible. Some people think that the Bible is not very accurate scientifically. They don't think that the world was created in 6 literal days. Rick Warren makes excuses for the Bible, saying that it's not a scientific book at all. But yet I read in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 22, something that wasn't known even when Christopher Columbus in 1492 sailed the ocean blue and thought maybe he was going to sail right off the edge of the earth. That's what the Catholic Church had taught for years. But in somewhere around 700 BC, centuries before Chris left and started sailing across the ocean, the prophet Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 40, chapter 22, "It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth." You see, God knew that the earth was in fact a circle. It's a ball. If you had just read your Bible and believed it, you would have known that. If the Catholic Church had just read their Bible and believed that, if Chris had just picked up a copy, then he would have known there's no way he would have fallen off the edge of the earth. It wasn't flat. It's a ball. It's a circle. You see, we're not to rely on what men say, but rather to find out for ourselves what the Bible says. As we study together, I certainly don't want you to believe me. I want you to believe your Bible. That's what this is all about. Because in 2 Timothy 2:15, God gives us instruction and tells us to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, if you fail to do that one thing, then what does that mean? That you're not going to study, you're going to be ignorant to show yourself unapproved unto God? A couch potato that needs to be ashamed, wrongly dividing the word of truth? Well, ignorance, my friend, is no longer an option. God in Acts chapter 17, verse 30 says that the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. By the way, you might have been taught that repentance is changing your ways, turning from your sins, doing something different with your life, changing your activities. But repent in our English language is really a change of mind. It's changing your mind about God and who He is. You know, I'm reminded years ago, when I was a child, the Quaker Oat Company, well, they still make Life cereal, don't they? I used to eat Life cereal, that kind that Mikey liked. I used to eat Life cereal like it was going out of style. It was, oh, my favorite cereal. And every time I could get Mom to buy it for me, I would devour the box without any problem at all. And they made an offer, the Quaker Oat Company made an offer that if you ate enough Life cereal and sent the box tops in with a couple dollars, you could get a set of Noah's Ark. There's Mrs. Noah and Mr. Noah and all the animals, two by two, two giraffes and two elephants, two zebras, on and on and on. It is a wonderful set. And you know what it... You have probably been taught, probably in church by the preacher, maybe your Sunday school teacher, that the animals all got on the ark two by two. Do you know that in Genesis chapter 7, we find that that's only a half-truth, that that's not the entire panoramic view? You're only looking at a small snapshot, because I read in Genesis 7:2 that of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens the male and his female. So the clean animals got on the ark seven by seven. So you see, you weren't told the entire truth. Let me tell you that that was the one verse, that was the fact that really opened my eyes to the fact that maybe I had not been taught everything that I needed to know. Maybe I hadn't been taught completely right in all things. Well, as we look at just a picture of the Bible, you're not going to see the whole panoramic view. You're not going to see the things that have changed over time. We turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 17, and we find Moses talking to Israel out there in the wilderness, and he gives the commandment. He says, ye shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and his testimonies and his statutes which he hath commanded thee. Now, you say, I know there's 10 commandments. Did you know that there's 613 points of law? And they had to do them all. Well, fast forward, and we find the Lord Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry. And as I read in Matthew chapter 19, verse 16, the rich young ruler comes, and behold, one came unto him and says, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? There's the question. There's the question of questions. That's what we're all looking for, is eternal life. And Jesus says unto him, not repent and be baptized, not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. He says unto him, why callest me thou good? There is none good but one, and that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Jesus saying the same thing that Moses said back there in Deuteronomy. Fast forward again, we find the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 6:14 saying something quite opposite, something quite different, something that if you don't rightly divide the word of truth, you're going to have a great deal of difficulty reconciling. When Paul says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Jesus, Moses, they agreed, keep the commandments, do the law. Paul says you're not under the law, but under grace. So you need to look at the context of the verse. You need to look at the bigger picture. When we equate those three verses that I just read you to three other verses, take a look. We could equate the commandment of Moses when Jesus was not yet born to Luke chapter 1, verse 69. Again, Jesus not yet born. We find old Zechariah, father of John the Baptist. And Zach in Luke 1:69 says that God hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. That would be Israel, by the way. As he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began. This is the same thing that was being spoken by all the holy prophets since the world began. Everybody knew it. Fast forward to Peter. Peter preaching exactly what he had learned in 3.5 years of hanging out with the Lord Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry. And we read in Acts chapter 3, verse 20, Peter preaching his first sermon and says, he shall send, Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the time of the restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Zach, old Pete, speaking the exact same thing that Jesus spoke in his earthly ministry, speaking the same thing that Moses taught Israel, those things that have been spoken by all the holy prophets since the world began. Fast forward one more time. We find the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 16, verse 25, and he says, "Now to him which is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, not just any old which way, but according to the revelation of the mystery." Notice the words, "which was kept secret since the world began." Here is information which nobody knew since the world began. All the holy prophets didn't speak this because it was kept a mystery. It was kept a secret by God. So you see the difference. Paul says you're not under the law, but under grace. And he has information that was kept secret. That is different than Peter. That is different than the Lord Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry, who spoke things that were spoken by all the holy prophets since the world began. Now, preaching, teaching, in this, the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to the Apostle Paul. We read in Ephesians chapter 3:1, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, not for Israel, but for ye Gentiles." That's you and me, the body of Christ, the church, the body of Christ. And he asks the question, "If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to youward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery." Oh, the mystery. Well, if you're not preaching Christ according to Romans 16:25, the revelation of the mystery, then you're not preaching Christ crucified according to Pauline doctrine. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 tells us, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." We know that the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation, is Romans 1:16, and only in Paul's epistles do you find out that Paul is the apostle for the Gentiles. He is our pattern, and was given specific information concerning the instruction, the doctrine for the church, the body of Christ, in this, the dispensation of the grace of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 8, we find out something you might not have known, that last of all, Jesus was seen of me, Paul says, as one born out of due time. Paul, the due time testifier, was the last to see the Lord Jesus Christ. And in 1 Timothy 1:16, Paul tells us that he was the first at something. He was the last to see and the first at something else. Let's see what that was. When Paul says, "Howbeit for this cause, I obtained mercy, that in me first, Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." There's the question. There's the question that the rich young ruler asked Jesus back there in Matthew 19. "What good thing must I do that I may have eternal life?" And Paul says, "I am the pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." There we have something. We have found a nugget, a golden nugget in our Bible by rightly dividing. When Paul tells us that he is the apostle to the Gentiles, because I believe my Bible, I believe its content, I believe that God has perfectly preserved his word, I believe Paul. And in Romans 11:13, Paul clarifies the position when he says, "I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office." If Paul is our apostle, maybe, just maybe, it's time that we start paying attention to him. Rather than going to just a snapshot in our Bible, picking out a verse here, a verse there, and making that our key verse, making that our plan of salvation, maybe it's time we took a look at the right place. Maybe it's time we took a look around and got the panoramic view of the Bible and found out what it is that we need to be looking at and paying attention to. When I find out that Paul is our apostle, and that the repent and baptize, be baptized plan is not the plan of salvation. I need to pay attention to Paul. When I find out that Paul's our apostle and that keeping commandments doesn't mean anything, that because I'm not under the law, maybe then I need to pay attention to the apostle Paul. And when he writes in Titus chapter 3:5 that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saves us. There's the same mercy that Paul obtained in 1 Timothy 1:16. He obtained mercy that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, which means, Romans 6:14, we're not under the law, but under grace. And that is restated, reiterated, retold by Paul in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, when he says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." If it's not of works, I know that keeping the commandments means nothing for salvation's sake. If it's not of works, I know that my baptismal certificate means nothing for salvation's sake, and neither does yours. If it's not of works, I know that church attendance and tithing, all the things that we have been doing, all the things that we've been thinking, living a good life, mean nothing when it comes to salvation. For it is by grace we're saved, that through faith. Well, our faith needs to have an object to it. We can't just have faith in faith. We can't just have faith that Jesus was a good man. We can't just have faith that Jesus was a kind man. We can't just have faith that Jesus was even the Son of God. We have to have faith in a particular thing. And Paul, our apostle, tells us what we should be having faith in, what we should be trusting. That in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 1. Where Paul declares to you the gospel, which I preached unto you, by which also you're saved. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. You see, it's faith in what Christ did. It's faith in the cross of Christ. It's faith in his death, burial, and resurrection as payment for all your sins. You see, the wages of sin or death is death. And if we're not going to take those wages, then we need to be trusting someone who was able to pay the wage for us, that the Lord Jesus Christ, because he died for us in our place. I declare unto you the gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection, that's where our faith needs to be directed. What a privilege it is to be able to rightly divide the word of truth. What a privilege it is to be able to understand salvation and know that once you're in Christ, you can't get out of Christ. You become sealed unto the day of redemption. You become secure in your salvation, that not by works, but by faith in his finished work. What a privilege it is when Paul says in Ephesians 3:8, he says, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." Unsearchable in that you won't find this information in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You can search all the Old Testament and never find the plan of salvation, which is the death, burial, and resurrection. Paul says in verse 9 that it is our job to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things, by Jesus Christ. What a privilege, then, to introduce to you the revelation of the mystery, the dispensation of the grace of God, rightly dividing the word of truth, and understanding, maybe for the first time, that the instruction for the church, the body of Christ, and this the dispensation of the grace of God, is contained in the writings of Paul and Paul alone. I would invite you to attend the Master Builder Grace Assembly at 313 South Jefferson Street each and every Sunday morning, teaching at 10, services at 11 o'clock, again on Wednesday night at 7. You can access via the internet at www.wonderfulgrace.org. Contact me from the website, www.wonderfulgrace.org. And thank you for listening.